piles of vegan candy at a festival where the sweets are free. I see my sweet companions who campaign to save lives not yet free. Piles of pamphlets and leaflets show how cows in crates are pumped with drugs, the calves are dragged from drained mothers, killed for milk and never free. I find reminding myself how animals are kept upsets me. Unfocused, I fall from my feet, crash, all of my leaflets fly free. My dear, kind friend helps me, gathering up my leaflets and dropped thoughts. We stop and talk of how cows die for sweets and lament those not free. He says, Dom, there are piles of possibilities and we can help. It's a great start for you and me to give these vegan sweets for free.
Hello, everybody. Are spoken word vegan poems and queer vegan punk bands from the Faroe Islands a sign that the whole world is becoming pallid woke snowflakes? Or can music, art and the spoken word make for real social change? You're listening to Vegan Talk with me, Anthony.
And hello, I am the poet Dominic.
Welcome along, everyone. This is a very special episode. I'm really excited about it. And goodness, let's just get stuck in. The queer vegan punk band from the Faroes that I mentioned, that is coincidentally a story that's just popped into my newsfeed several times this week whilst researching the show. We will put a link in the show notes. Dominic has bought their entire back catalogue in the last 48 hours.
I mean, they're a punk band, so that sounds far more work on my behalf. Like, they say they've got two albums. Each of those albums is 10 minutes long. Like, one of the songs is 2 seconds long, you know. So it's not that big a commitment. But it has been, I'd never heard of the man. You invited me. Did I want to join you on the podcast? And you said, oh, yeah, there's this group. And I listened to one song and I thought, oh, this is good. And yeah, it wasn't just for research. For me, it's been a joyful finding. And yeah, they're my new favourite group, y'all.
All aboard the ferry. We're heading one-way trip to the Faroes for their next gig. Anyway, in this episode, myself and Dominic are getting arty. We're going to look at whether the likes of poetry, music, painting, whether they're just ways of venting the frustrations of being vegan in a non-vegan world, or whether actually they can be the vehicle for advocacy for animals as an end in itself and as a means in itself. Do you want to get us going, Dominic, then? So do you think art has to advocate for social change? Like, can you just do art for art's sake?
Do you know what? I don't know if I do have a definite answer for that. Those are the listeners who listen to I was on here before chatting about the video game Gibbon. And Gibbon speaks about, you know, palm oil, palm trees. It is a fun game. It's joyful. It's a celebration of forests and apes. But it made me choose to give up palm oil, something that actually on my vegan journey I'd never looked at before. So that's an example of art being very direct. Like, there is information you can read within the game itself that, as well as the playful bits, directly gives facts about rainforests. Do I also play Sonic the Hedgehog? Yeah, I do. But then I would argue that Sonic the Hedgehog has a let's free animals from cages. It does it in a more subtle way, and that doesn't make it not good. I think it is a wasted opportunity if art does not have some urge to call us to consider things on a deeper level. I'm a poet. Poetry is often used in advertising these days, and poets have big opinions on that. Advertising pays really well. I've never done a poem in an advert. I won't lie to you, Ant. I would, because the money's brilliant. And I'm not going to do one for like the butcher's shop, am I? Of course I'm not. You
depends
know,
what the poem is, I imagine.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I don't think they choose to have one of mine, though, in it. But yeah, I've been to see spoken word poets who aren't being paid for an advert. They're at a event and they're just saying rhymes that are fun and jokey, or and I think that's a wasted opportunity. I really do. I think it's a wasted opportunity. The singer Kirsty MacColl was a beautiful music maker, like, you know, wonderful melodies, wonderful voice, but she said, I write my own lyrics, and why would I not put something worth saying in lyrics? Why would I not? There are so many people around the world whose voices are never heard. There are so many animals, so many beings who aren't recognized as existing. So yeah, if you've got the privilege of standing up and people listening to you for a moment, I do believe the least you can do is try and be a voice for the voiceless. That's what I believe. I really do.
Yeah, absolutely. So what is it, do you think, then, that makes it so effective to take a message and not just state it in factual terms? That there are, you know, think pieces out there. There are, I don't know, documentaries that you can watch. I mean, you could argue that a documentary can be produced in an artistic way. But I guess what I'm getting at is, there are more sort of objective, not emotive, ways of trying to advocate on behalf of animals. You can just give someone some facts. You can just state it. You can write things down. There are leaflets, things
which
like
is wonderful and important. Mm. And that really was a
absolutely
huge part of my vegan journey, for me to see well-produced leaflets and pamphlets and be challenged with uncomfortable information that I did not want to see. That was really vital for me. There's more than just three categories, isn't there? There's more than just three, but three categories we might use is entertainment, like, you know, a beautiful piece of instrumental music that exists, maybe like a dance track, like an instrumental dance track that's like, you know, I love my 90s drum and bass. I adore it. Brilliant, brilliant. And then there's art, where it's, you know, evocative of a feeling, or maybe an intellectual idea, or maybe there's a playing with form and structure that is experimental. And then there's documentary that is just giving you the hardline statistics. And I aim in my work to combine those three things. I think that documentaries can potentially be dry, and if you can add some playing with language, some joy of creativity, it's one way of creating something that could start a conversation. But if you lean too much into, I'm just giving a rhyming, didactic mission statement, then maybe the fact to art ratio is a bit off, and maybe people will just turn off. Maybe people will just feel like they're being preached at. So you know, the poem I started this podcast with, you know, I spent so long thinking about my poems, and that was a really, like, it's a true story, and it's a personal story. It's from my perspective. You know, I use the pronoun I did this. So it's a narrative tale, and my hope for that, you know, there's rhymes in there. It's an Arabic form I used. It's a ghazal. So there's a structure that I adhered to in terms of enjoying that challenge of creating something within a framework. But I also just thought, well, this is a story. This is a story. So hopefully people won't feel too finger pointed at, because I'm just saying something that happened to me in a playful way.
Yeah. Why is it then that's that sort of taking things and and expressing them in a creative way, whether it's with the spoken word or whether it's musically or visual art. There's some brilliant sort of visual art out there that advocates on behalf of animals. Why is it that those things reach us in a way that sometimes pure objective facts can't?
So in theatre, so my poetry is written to be spoken, so I'm used to standing on a stage. So in theatre, we've got, you know, the fourth wall. The audience is the fourth wall. There's the three walls that surround the person speaking, and the audience is the fourth wall. They are a part of it. And how big is that fourth wall? Is the performance area a square where the fourth wall is just a quarter, or is it, you know, a different shape where actually the three walls are kind of quite narrow? What do you call that angle? And it's not an acute one, it's the opposite, an obtuse angle. Yeah. So maybe the audience is really, really big. So I've seen vegan paintings, you know, you might call it vegan artwork, that is very hard hitting. You know, the sort of things like, oh, imagine if I animals had people tied down in cages or cutting them out or things like that. So there, that the fourth wall is quite small in that scenario because we're not being given a lot of room for interpretation. That the purpose of the person making that work is very, very clear. Very, very clear. I'm not saying that's better or worse, but it's different than you know what I was aiming to with the first poem, where the fourth wall's quite large. Like, it's open to interpretation, but there's still a pro-vegan message. You know, of course I write poems all the time. Later on in the show, I'll do a second poem where it's more like those paintings I discussed, where, you know, my intent with the fourth wall is smaller. It's narrower, the interpretation of it. So it's just different approaches, and different things will stimulate other people. It's the common thing, isn't it, that people are like, that's too much for me, I am turning off. There are people who would see those paintings of animals carving up people and say, that is grim, I'm not listening. Whereas maybe something with a larger fourth wall might provoke a different, less defensive reaction from a particular individual.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm wondering as well, when you're saying that, I was thinking, I think most people, and I'm going to guess that most people listening, actually, art is not necessarily something that is in our lives 100% of the time. So actually, or a certain type of art, let's say. So actually, when somebody is communicating through a visual medium or through sound or for whatever, it's got a freshness to it, hasn't it? Whereas if we're talking about just using objective facts or just listening to somebody just talking like you and I are now, that's something that's quite regular in our lives. We're quite used to that. Whereas if all of a sudden I burst into song, that's going to prick people's ears up, and it's going to capture attention a lot more readily, isn't it? And I think art can do that too.
Well, again, it's this sort of sliding scale from, and I know there's more than three categories, but from documentary to art to entertainment. You know, people can be really snooty about art. Art's not for me. But, you know, there are artists working on television shows. There are artists making incidental music in the background things. Definitely artists working in video games, you know, the money generated by video games. And there's been many a word written on, are video games art? And just like with any form of media, of entertainment, there are things that are more arty and things that are less arty. So yeah, I think that some people are like, oh, art's not for me, but it is.
yeah, absolutely. It's it takes so many different forms, doesn't it? And it can cut across so many divides. Have you come across the it's a comic artist who calls himself Vegan Sidekick?
I know Vegan Sidekick very well. So again, that's I love it. I really, do you know what? When I get onto my second poem, I'm not solely Vegan Sidekick, but Vegan Sidekick is one of the people who I'm considering when I speak of things in this poem, because I admire Vegan Sidekick. The fourth wall is very small. By that I mean, Vegan Sidekick's intent is clear. And it's made me question myself. It's made me think, am I doing enough as an artist? Am I doing enough? Should I be more like Vegan Sidekick? Because Vegan Sidekick is very direct, very, very clear and brilliant, excellent, but it will be too much for people. And I am.
Oh, absolutely.
If it's not too like blowing my own trumpet, you know, I'm quite a charismatic fellow, you know, I'm quite charming. I have a nice smile, you know, and I go into like, you know, libraries with like, you know, people who are married to doctors and people who are, you know, I perform in all kinds of places, and I go into really disadvantaged communities. I say my poems far and wide. I say them in areas where there is extreme poverty and inequality and anger, and people feel they're too tired to think about veganism or the mistreatment of animals. And I still talk about it. I talk about it everywhere. But my message is always done with an attempt at charm, an attempt at entertainment, an attempt at creating a connection. And I guess that's one way that a live performer, as opposed to seeing something in print or on a pre-made video, there's the potential for greater impact, perhaps, because one can adapt to the presence of the people there. And time and time and time again, I have people coming up saying, you made me think about veganism.
Hi, everyone. It's Editing Ant here.
And hello, I am Editing Dominic. And we're here to talk about punk band names which may contain swear words. In their name, yes. Ant, in their name. We can't bleep that out every time because it'll just be like bleeping every 2 seconds. And it's their name, innit? It's their name. I think it's good to have their name, the name of this punk band that we're going to talk about. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I think so too. But normally, if there are a few swears in the recording for enough of the falafel production, I'll just bleep it out. So you might be listening to this and just, there's never a swear in the episode. So we just wanted to give you a heads up that in today's episode, there's a word that begins with S that means poo. we're just going to be saying it. So if that's going to be a problem for yourself or anyone else who's listening, this might not be the episode for you. But I mean, you could give it a try, see what you think. It'd be a shame to miss it.
It would be a shame. There you are. It's a very good episode. Yeah.
It is, I think so too. Well, anyway, do you think we've warned everyone enough there, Dominic?
I do. It's not my poems. I'm a really good poet. Actually, that's a lie. I've got loads of poems with swearing in. I just chose to not say them on today's show.
What different swear words do you use in your poems?
All of them, man. All of them. I'm such a naughty boy. Everyone. Yeah.
Anyway, I think we should get back to the episode. What do you think, Dominic?
Good times.
Let's do it.
Time and time and time again, I have people coming up saying, you made me think about veganism, as do our vegan punk band from the Faroes. You know, they are, I would say their fourth wall's really wide, although their lyrics are blunt. You know, their song, I'm going to grab the place to read you some of their song titles. So they've got song titles called things like Save the Planet, You Dumb Shit. That's one of their, which is brilliant, brilliant song. Another one, this is really good. What a title this is. This song is 22 seconds long and it's called If You Believe in Eating Meat, Start with Your Dog. You know, but I would argue that they're different to Vegan Sidekick because they remind me a bit of Pixies, the sort of punk group from the 80s, in that they're really harsh but really playful. Like they sing in quite silly voices, like, you know, like really high pitched, and there's a playfulness that I think makes the fourth wall really, really broad. It's I think it's really accessible, really accessible.
Yeah.
Because it's fun. It is fun to jump up and down. I get the same feelings listening to I'm gonna have to look up the name of the group. Joe and the Shit Boys. What a name. Joe and the Shit Boys. Yeah. I get the same feeling as I do from like the 1990s dance music. You jump around, it's really fun. And yet you can hear them saying really harsh lyrics. And they say that people come up to them and want to talk about veganism and what a joy that is. And that's different from Vegan Sidekick. I adore Vegan Sidekick. I've questioned, should I be more like Vegan Sidekick? And I've concluded, no. What Joe and the Shit Boys do is different. What I do is different. What Vegan Sidekick does is different. And it's all brilliant. Like, the more out there, the better. But it's all just different ways.
I think it's different. Like, you've been talking, when you've been talking about fourth walls and how broad they are, it's about different audiences too sometimes, isn't it? In that I'm going to say that there's going to be some poetry, art, music, what, you know, pick your artistic form, that is actually going to do more good for animals because it fires up vegans to be more active and to advocate more than it is going to make people question things. And Vegan Sidekick, for any listeners who aren't aware, that they are four paneled little comic strips, so four little frames, very basic drawings, just stick people pointing out, I would say, hypocrisies of people who are choosing to consume animal products. I'd say that's the general theme of things, isn't it, Dominic? Like, it's
point. They are. And you know what? I'm now questioning whether I've done the brilliance of Vegan Sidekick a disservice, because I said the fourth wall's very narrow. It's very direct. But in the same way that Joe and the Shit Boys is fun to jump up and down in, there is often humour. There are often jokes.
There are.
And that is different from a pamphlet that tells you about hens being mistreated on free range farms. That's different.
It is.
But I mean,
the clue is in the name. I mean, neither of us, I'm assuming you don't know the person personally.
No.
We're only going to hypothesize at what their intention is with these, but judging by the tone of them and by their name, Vegan Sidekick, I would say that the intention is more to kind of back up vegans and say, you're feeling frustrated by this hypocrisy. Let me do a little cartoon. This will make this. So often the comments in the Instagram feed are, oh, you've got that spot on, mate. That's exactly what it's like. And it's vegans who are saying that. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Like, having something that G's us up as vegans, or clues us up, or makes us feel a bit better about things, because sometimes we can be ground down in a non-vegan world. And I think, you know, if maybe the same with a musician, like, yes, people who aren't vegan might listen to a band who is singing about veganism, but actually a big part of what they're doing is probably going to make vegans feel good and make them feel like they've got a bit of a culture, and like, yeah, I can stand on my own two feet. Yeah, I can use my own voice. And it's different purposes, isn't it? But like you're saying, if you can appeal to lots of different people, and you can, because most of the world isn't vegan, like, there needs to be art out there that's appealing to the masses of people who aren't yet vegan. And that's really important.
I hear what you're saying, but I actually disagree in what I presume to be Vegan Sidekick's intent. Vegan Sidekick often shares screenshots of private messages between angry carnists and themselves, and that happens quite often. So there is a success in stimulating real debate, which again has made me think about things. I keep referring to my poem. Can I say my poem?
Yes, do it. There have been a couple of points I've been like, you've mentioned this second poem quite a lot, Dominic. I think it's going to be easy for us to hear it. Please do. Well, go ahead.
Yeah. So as I said, this poem, you know, it's another form one. So the first one was a ghazal, the Arabic form. This is a pantoum. And the goal of a pantoum is that there are lines repeated, but the identical words are supposed to have a different meaning. So my hope is that because it's such a melodic form of writing, that has a inherent arty quality, but the message, it could really be about Vegan Sidekick. This is called Pantoum for Possibilities, and it goes like this. Must my eyes lock on mobile screens, entrapped online, cows killed on film, the slaughterhouse? What happens next? reflecting eyes stare back, encaged, entrapped online, cows killed on film. I watch until my screen turns black, reflecting eyes stare back, encaged, and then my phone lights up again. I watch until the screen turns black. No sleep. I think of activists. And then my phone lights up again. I'm not like them. I'm trapped online. No sleep. I think of activists. Do most men not care? Someone say, I'm not like them. I'm trapped online, but not forever. Things could change. Do most men not care? Someone say, my hands could help. This world is cruel, but not forever. Things could change. Where is the key to set life free? My hands could help. This world is cruel. Must my eyes lock on mobile screens? Where is the key to set life free? The slaughterhouse. What happens next?
Outstanding. Thank you. Thank you for that. Do you know what? Listening to that, Dominic, like it's that helped answer a question I think that I asked you earlier in terms of why is it that the artistic form can permeate through in a way that just objective facts sometimes don't. And I think it's about relating to the human experience. Because actually, I was really feeling what you were saying then, and it was reflecting feelings that I had back. And it's, of course, facts and objective statements can elicit emotion. Of course they can. But actually, there's something about the rawness and the vulnerability of art, I think, sometimes, that can help draw out our own vulnerabilities. And we can see them reflected back at us in a way that... If you're just stating something in quite a cold, empirical way, it's harder to kind of feel that vulnerability from someone else and therefore to feel your own vulnerability. I know we're getting a bit meta here, but...
Well, it is about the universal human experience. And with spoken poetry, it's laid bare in a way that music... It's just a different thought. People are like, well, what's the difference between lyrics and poems? Well, one difference is lyrics exist with music. So it's a different way in which we're experiencing it. I remember a young vegan girl came to a poetry workshop I was facilitating, and I really didn't want to pour water over her spark because she was brilliant, but she had a poem she had written about veganism and it was so preachy. And I said to her, I agree with what you say. And it was not attempting to do what you said before, be a kind of rallying, comforting thing. It was very finger pointy, like, you know, you are a bad person. And I was like, you know, I know that will not succeed in your goal. You know, people will feel judged and turn off. But going back to our music, is that's exactly what Joe and the Shit Boys say in their lyrics, but they're doing it jumping up and down and really catchy tunes. And so it's a different art form. It's a different medium. And I think that, you know, what I aimed to do, you know, I don't know if I can objectively judge my own art, say if I succeeded. But what you said about the universal human experience, about questioning in that poem, am I doing enough? Am I part of the problem? Can I be part of the solution? And then within that, I give some objective facts about, you know, cows are killed, you know, that's where beef come from, you know, like, so it wasn't using emotive language. And if you are going out and buying a steak, then I think you are awful. I wasn't saying that, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah. Different art form, I think, lends itself to different approaches.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, whilst on the subject of giving advice and using your experience to support others in their own advocacy. I keep saying advocacy for some reason instead of
it's a good way of saying it. I like it.
Let's just put our emphasis in different places.
It's a way of saying it. Yeah.
Absolutely. My name's not Anthony, it's Anthony. Anthony. Anyway, sorry. What advice could you offer to people who are vegan and they are artistically inclined, whether it's through painting, music, spoken word, video game creator, whatever it is, just from your experience of using that artistic skill, inclination, and wanting to pair it with a drive to advocate on behalf of animals? You've spoken there about traps that you can fall into. Are there others? Are there little nuggets that you could share? Because there'll be people listening who are in that position and perhaps haven't quite pushed the boat out with it yet, but they want to.
If you want to write poems, I do like rhyming poems. So my first poem on this show was not rhyming couplets. There was loads of like little rhymes in the middle of sentences. They came in frequent, but they were there and they added a musical quality. I think that there's a lot of debate. Are rhymes naff? Do rhyme? If your rhymes are obvious rhymes, if you're just rhyming me and be over and over again, then yeah, maybe that's not best. But if you could be creative with the rhymes, not force rhymes, but find genuinely interesting, less common rhymes, I think that makes a vegan message just easier to hear. So it was me saying spoken word isn't the same as music, because with music you've got like the package that allows Joe and the Shitboys to be saying. That's actually not necessarily true, because there are some really like ranty poets who have a kind of John Cooper Clarke bullet speed ranting, very rhythmic, very fast, like almost like hip hop, almost like rap. And there's I think that would make a direct message work better than just more modern free verse writing that doesn't have those recognizable playing with language techniques. So, yeah, rhyme. I could have said that in one word. Could I? Yeah, do some rhyming. Do some rhyming. That'll make it. Rhyming. Yeah.
Absolutely. What about in general? Presumably that are there downsides too to kind of having a sort of social justice passion with your art? Like, I don't know, can there be times when you're just like, oh, do you know what? I'm not going to pair these things up today. Or I'm getting so fired up about things, it's like it's really bothering my day.
I mentioned Gibbon, the video game. I play that game quite often because it's really fun. The Gibbon you play as is really beautiful. The art is gorgeous. And it's enjoyable doing it. It also has, with no words, it has a really strong story. Spoiler for the video game, you know, one of the Gibbons is killed by a poacher, and it's done, and it's not done.
I'm really sad. I'm invested in this video game now. I've never played it. I didn't know about it.
There's like a sort of open world element where you go around like knocking over caged birds and the birds get to fly free, which is beautiful. And like seeing all their gorgeous, colourful feathers, you know, taking to the sky, that's beautiful. And then there's like a more linear story where the other Gibbon gets killed. And yeah, it's made me cry every time I've done it. In the end, makes me cry. So they kill a parent Gibbon and this happens in real life, in order to trap a baby. And you have to like free the baby, go in amongst people into like, you know, a busy market, which is just an awful place, and free the Gibbon. When you succeed in doing it every time, I mean, the full game only takes about an hour and a half to play. It's about the length of a movie, really, the story bit of the game. And it's made me cry every single time. And it's the good storytelling, even though it uses no language. So that's the technique that makes it not a documentary. It is a story. They know what they're doing with story. Those sort of, you know, age old, well studied rules of what makes storytelling work, which so many Hollywood film producers have forgotten. And that's why so many films are just terrible, because they just fail at basic storytelling tenets. If you're not trying to tell a story, that's fine. If you're doing like a visual spectacle, like, you know, Disney's Fantasia was back in the 50s or 60s or wherever they made it, that's fine. But if you're saying, oh, come see this superhero story, and there isn't a story there, then that's probably gonna alienate people. So yeah, to know what you're doing, I guess what I'm saying is, find a genre. Young Dominic would have hated this advice. Find a genre and find out why things within that genre work. So young Dominic would have hated that advice, because I wanted to be the inventor of a new art form. But actually, spoken word poetry already exists, and I've become better at it by attending poetry nights and seeing spoken word poets who successfully engage with their audience, and poets who lose their audience, poets who are boring, poets who are too finger pointy and judgmental, poets who talk down to their crowd, you know, poets who are just willfully overly intellectual and vague because they think it makes them look clever, you know. So find, if you're doing a video game, find good video games and realize why they're good video games. If you're writing a song, you know, find good songs. I want to quickly say, I'm segueing here, I want to give some shout outs, some other vegan artists, right, as well.
Oh, please do.
Bob Villain, V-Y-L-A-N, Bob Villain, Birmingham, Black British, vegan, hip-hop punk artist. There's a brilliant song on YouTube called Health is Wealth, which is a glorious, glorious passionate celebration of veganism. You know, most of his other songs are quite, you know, angry and like down with the government sort of things, but Health is Wealth is a real veganic highlight. So I would advise checking that out. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. I've got it up on the screen here. Yeah. Looks fantastic. Looks fantastic. I was trying to think about other sort of vegan art that I think is, you know, particularly effective, or that I would recommend. And actually I can't necessarily recommend any names, which is not particularly useful, but I do like still art that has got hidden messages in it. And like you've hinted at earlier, Dominic, like sometimes, well, everybody's got a different tolerance, haven't they? So everyone's going to get pushed over the edge at a different point. Back when I used to run a cafe, we had a corner of the cafe that was rather like the background that you've got on your screen at the moment, Dominic. Loads of different magazine covers and pictures and stuff, just like wallpaper paste plastered over the wall. And it was really interesting seeing people's reactions to sitting in that corner, because we'd call it the vegan corner, because if a vegan customer sat there, they'd love it, because they'd be looking at things and being like, oh, look at that. Oh, they've nailed it there. That's spot on, that piece of art. Whereas if there was a customer who walked in and didn't realize it was a vegan cafe, or perhaps had been brought in by someone and they sat in that corner, sometimes it was a bit too much for them. But actually, I think what I like about artwork is it's quite easy to look away or flick off if it's too much for you. You can sort of take or leave it.
Well, here's another entirely different approach that an artist who is vegan can take. Big mainstream singers, Bryan Adams, you know, soft rocker, the glorious, glorious soul singer Erykah Badu. Her New America Part One album is stunningly creative. And Lizzo's everywhere at the moment. So they're three vegan people who make music and speak about being vegan outside of their work. So I said I attempt to be charming. You know, Bryan Adams, what a lovely fella he is. Lizzo is just so much fun and joyful. And, you know, Erykah Badu, glorious music. It's not about being vegan, but they speak. I mean, Lizzo's got a whole sort of TikTok thing where she speaks, and it is like a documentary. So that's another approach that you've kind of hooked people. I mean, most of Bryan Adams' stuff is like slushy love songs, which I do question if we need yet another slushy love song from Bryan Adams. But he knows his target market, and he's very vocal about veganism outside of his music. So he's got all the wives of doctors who I mentioned come to my poetry gigs. Yeah. Like, you know, they really love the work. And then good on him for being like, and whilst you're here, here's what I think about veganism.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Moby is another brilliant example of that, isn't it? I mean, that I can't think of any of his songs that have an animal rights message in them, but my goodness.
He does have an album called Animal Rights.
That's true. But then if you just listened to the music, would you know
it's
that?
Very cross, isn't
yeah.
It?
But, yeah. But like.
But not necessarily inherently about, not yes. In the way that, like, you know, the Smiths' Meat is Murder was like.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not that.
That's quite clear, that one, isn't it? But yeah, my goodness, he advocates, you know, outside of his music. Dominic, we should probably round things off, but is there anything that you wanted to close, any closing remarks on this? But we are going to finish with a poem right at the very end, but anything else that you wanted to say on the subject of using art to advocate on behalf of animals?
Do you know what? I think a very modern thing is for people to be full of self-doubt. I think the effects of the lockdown and having removed isolation, the keyboard warrior is bigger than ever. People who feel like very confident online, but then actually when it comes to really sharing things, often feel exactly the opposite way. And I would say we would all do well to work up our ability. Just give it a go. Just give it a go in the knowledge that people might say, oh, yeah, you know, that's not for me, or that is for me. And do you know what? It would be even better if we worked on this. I don't see my writing as a lonesome process. I share my art with other people. I get their opinions, other poets, audiences. When I go to things and I edit. And I feel so passionately about, you know, speaking about veganism, speaking about LGBT matters, about speaking about inequality and poverty and the children who are going without good meals because of the increase of just how much deprivation that there is. You know, I feel really, really passionately. So I care about my message being as clear as possible, but that doesn't happen overnight. I don't just sit down and pen a clear message. So be brave enough to sit down, give it a go, and then be open to people saying, you know, don't take it personally. I'm not slagging you off as a creator, but I am critiquing what you've created and saying that your intent, I'm not changing your idea. I'm not saying, oh, don't do it about veganism. I'm not saying that. I'm saying it would be clearer. It would make a greater connection if this was changed, if we developed this, if we had more of that, if we had less of the other. So yeah, give it a go and edit.
I think that's really, really wise advice just in general in life there. But yeah, that's a really nice way to finish things off. Thank you, Dominic. So as I've said, we need to finish the conversation here. But everyone listening, like, we'd love to know your thoughts on this. Maybe you are a budding vegan artist and you want to share what you're doing or what you're planning on doing. You know how to get hold of us. It's enoughofthefalafel@gmail.com. This is not a top-down, power-driven project where people just talk and you have to listen. We want to hear your conversation too, so do get involved.
Brilliant. Yeah. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I know Ant has done loads of these, so do check out the back catalogue. There's a whole series of other shows. I know the next episode of Vegan Week will be airing on Monday, and there'll be a rundown and commentary on the week's vegan and animal rights news. And thank you, Ant. What a lucky, lucky group of folks we are to have all you give to us, Ant. Thank you very much.
Well, I'm right back at you, Dominic. Thank you. But like, it would be no good if it was just my voice every week. The people would very quickly tune out. So yeah, really lucky to have had you along this week. And indeed, in previous episodes too, check out Dominic's other episodes with us and just everything else he does in life. What a lovely man. Anyway, we need to bring things to a close. That is enough of the falafel for this episode. I have been Anthony.
I've been Dominic. You've been listening to Vegan Talk from Enough of the falafel. And to close us off, I'll say another poem, if that's all right. And shall I go for it?
Oh, please do.
Oh, nice. All right. This is a really old poem from me, celebrating lovely grub. This is a poem which is called Pulse. Pulse, beat, moth, heat, winged horse, vein deep, lob-dob, lob-dob, gee-hop, lift feet, feet fly, eat high, raw or try to, bake, fry, make pie, wheat or rye, pulse beat loud, uncloud sky. Take a bite of fancy's flight, soar at quite a hearty height, life of night, black light, stars like rice, soul bright, leave no crumbs, pulse beat drums, motor hums, two up thumbs, big full tums, best with chums, can't do sums but breathe as one, joy comes, horse kick, healthy gums, teeth, click click, house of brick, pulse thick, tock tick, flax oil slick, then quick to ground, earthbound, unwound, feet down, breath found, all round, pulse pounds, a rooted sound, lob dob, lob dob, no frowns, all loved up, broad green, minds meet, one breath, pulse deep.